Thanks for joining with us at Homilies from Holy Cross. Holy Cross Catholic Church is a parish in Kernersville, North Carolina, within the Diocese of Charlotte. Our podcast is a daily way for us to hear the gospel proclaimed and the word preached. So we're going to dive in and see what God wants to speak to our hearts today.
The Lord be with you. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Just to reiterate the announcement that was made before Mass, we're going to be doing some maintenance work here in the church, installing the speakers to the new organ that we'll be installing, and so it's going to require some scaffolding and things like that and make it unsafe for the public to be in and out of the church, and so we're going to do that on Wednesday and Thursday. Morning Mass the Mass on Wednesday will be in the morning at 7 a.m., and then the church will be closed the rest of the day Wednesday and all day on Thursday for that installation. So thank you for your patience. And somebody said, well, good luck getting anybody there at 7 a.m., but people are up, I know. Some families have been, we need earlier Masses so I can go before work. So also, we welcome for this first weekend that we have with us Matthew Dimmick, who's signed here for the summer. Matthew had just finished his 4 years of philosophy studies at St. Joseph College Seminary in Charlotte, and he will continue his priestly formation and begin his theology studies at the Athenaeum in Ohio this fall. And so he'll be here until August 9th. He's got a few other things he'll be in and out for, but most of the weekends he'll be here and a good chunk of the next 10 weeks. And so please introduce yourself to him. Yourself to him, and please assure him, and please continue to pray for all of our seminarians, the future priests of the Diocese of Charlotte, who will serve as your parish priests. Nearly 6 months ago, we gathered for the Christmas Masses, and we commemorated and celebrated the Father sending the Son among us for his ministry and our salvation. And then during the Lenten season, preparing our hearts not only for the passion of our Lord, but also his resurrection. And then after his ascension and celebrating last week, the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So the Father sending his Son, and then the Father and the Son sending the Spirit. So every year after the Solemnity of Pentecost, we have all the puzzle pieces we need to then celebrate the Solemnity of the Trinity. And so here we are celebrating this most glorious and awesome mystery of our faith, something that is central. If somebody had asked me, you know, in high school or even as I began my seminary studies before, you know, a formal theological education, what the most important mystery of the church is, I probably would have said, and I don't know what your answer would be, but probably the Eucharist maybe, you know, the source and summit of our Christian life. Or something else, but not the Trinity, because it's so basic that we think about it so little. Even when we begin our prayers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, do we recall this awesome mystery? It's not a mystery that is unknown in the Old Testament. In fact, in our first reading, where we see that Moses is ascending Mount Sinai again in order to receive the law, the first tablets he broke because he was angry that they were worshiping a golden calf, right? Leave them alone for 2 days and they're off idol worshiping. But the point is that he has to go back up the mountain in order to receive the tablets of the law again. And what happens here? Two important points that don't seem important at first glance. Which is that the Lord Here in the lectionary and in most Bibles, the Lord is all in capital letters. This is because the name that God reveals, his own name to Moses at the burning bush when he says, well, if the Pharaoh asks me who sent me, who is it? And he says, tell him I am who am. But the name in Hebrew was such a holy name that it was never pronounced except by the high priest once a year in the temple. And to this day, we have no idea how it was pronounced. Because whenever they saw that word, they knew not to say it. Instead, they would replace that word with the word Adonai, Lord. But it was always capitalized to show that it was replacing the most holy name of God. As the Lord passes before him, we also see that he comes down in a cloud that represents his presence. Not just one individual spot, but the presence of God, almost his spirit, if you will, that descends upon the meeting tent in the Ark of the Covenant whenever Moses and Aaron and the elders gather. That presence cloud that opens up at the baptism of Christ. The cloud that descends upon Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration. Always showing the almighty presence of God. Even at the beginning of creation, prefiguring the Holy Spirit, said, in the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, almost like a fog. The mystery of the Trinity, God in who he is in himself, how he understands himself. A being that is infinite and reveals himself to our finite mind. And sometimes I have wondered in prayer, Lord, why reveal to us something that we'll never be able to grasp fully? And one day I thought, I would rather partially grasp who God is than not know God at all. When God reveals himself, it is always out of love. And even though we might not grasp in his fullness what it means for God to be one and God to be three, here's a little glimpse. We have to distinguish between the what and the who. The what is the nature of God. The who are the persons of the Trinity. You see, if somebody said, what are you? I would say, I'm a human being. I have a human nature. And we all share that human nature. But if somebody said, who you are, who are you? Say, I'm Father Carter. And guess what? I'm Father Carter. You're not. I'm a human being. So are you. We share the what, but not the who. In the early church, this was still very difficult to understand. In this great mystery of who God is, a lot of people were making mistakes. But because it's a central mystery, the church had to come together and define the Trinity and the persons of the Trinity. And so the bishops gathered together in a place called Nicaea, and they came and promulgated who God is, who the persons are. Here's some excerpts from that proclamation when they all gathered together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Hopefully that sounds familiar. This mystery is so central to our faith that we proclaim it every Sunday. That it shows the difference between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but all three of them in our creed being called Lord, and definitively saying that Christ is true God from true God, sharing the same nature, that the Father is the maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. Remember in 2002 when we changed all the translations of our prayers and everybody kept getting tripped up in the creed? Said, why can't we say seen and unseen? Maker of all things, seen and unseen, because seen and unseen is subjective. Right now, the deacon is unseen. but he's visible. Just because I can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. So those things that are visible and invisible, but part of reality. And then when we had to change one in being with the Father to consubstantial, well, what does that big word mean? Well, it's not one in being, because being can be defined in different ways. All of you are different beings, right? And so you can make the mistake that to say one in being is saying that they're the same person. But that's not the case. Consubstantial, the substance is the what, the nature. And he shares that with the Father. And then the Holy Spirit being called the Lord, Adonai. The same as the one who revealed himself in the burning bush. And who is he? The giver of life. Who gives life if not God himself and God alone? So we can look at this and say, great Father, great catechesis lesson. What does it mean? Consider what God reveals about himself. The love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And consider that you and I are made in his image and likeness. That we are called into a relationship of love. We are called into a communion and a community of love. Because that is the image and likeness of God. And that is why our gospel reading today shows the motive behind why he reveals who he is. This famous gospel verse, John 3:16, that's painted on the sides of football helmets and on the backs of jerseys and on the eye black, is posted everywhere. And sometimes we take for granted as well. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. What is eternity? Only God is eternity. What is life? God. To share with him. Not to be separated from him, but to share with him forever that communion of love. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Greek here literally means only begotten. There's no other like him. That even when you and I, because of our relationship with him, we are sons and daughters in Christ. No, here it shows that there's a uniqueness to this Son. How could we be saved if he had not revealed himself to us? By him revealing himself, like any revelation, like any communication, it requires an opening of oneself. He opens himself completely to us, his divine life. And all that he asks is that we do the same in return. The Father suffered the rejection of the Israelites in the desert. The Son suffered the persecution of the cross. The Holy Spirit continues to suffer the persecution of error, heresy, and those who go astray by mistaken beliefs or by the perversity of their morals. If they can continue to endure these sufferings, then how much more can we endure the suffering of this present life faithfully? So that we can continue in a relationship of love in eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, let us go ahead and pray together the St. Michael prayer, as well as the intercessory prayer that the bishop sent to the priest to be prayed during the coronavirus outbreak. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of soul. Amen. Merciful Father, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, Saint Roch, and Saint Rosalie, deliver us from the current attack and subsequent suffering we are enduring from the coronavirus.
May we seek to assist those in need in body or spirit, and ourselves turn away from sin and trust in you. We ask this in the name of the divine physician, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.